B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Celtics are not going to foul here, and Thibel could just dribble out the clock. 45 free throw attempts for the Sixers in the return of Joel Embiid. Celtics go to Philadelphia without Jason Tatum. They make a run at it. Too much Embiid and Simmons in the fourth quarter, and the Sixers pull away late. The final score, Philadelphia 117, Boston 109.
Hi, everybody. Howdy.
Hey.
T-Bone. Jim. Trying to get connected with Zoe.
All right.
I'm here.
Oh, he's here.
Good.
Nice. Hi, Zoe.
How you doing? Morning.
Man, look at Zoe with the black track jacket on today. Looking very thin. That Corona weight loss plan he's been doing here the last couple of weeks.
I would use, like, they say, hey, what's it like? Give me one word. I would say Drano. It just said, just cleans you out.
You've heard of Awaken 180. You know, now we've got near death 19.
That's what we have now. And a gook and all these ball bearings and just grease it up and let's put it back together and we're back.
So you eating clean now? Now
yes,
that you're
I
back,
am.
You feel like, you know, this is a time to like reset. You've got a little jump start from nature.
Maybe new lease on life.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
I haven't had a drink in over 20 days.
And is that part
no,
of...
No, no, I think that's you,
is this part of some larger announcement? Is this part of some larger announcement, I pray?
I've proven to myself I can do it.
Hey, Corona kicked my ass, and then I kicked Corona's ass right back. So,
oh, boy.
I'm just going to try and be healthy. That's all. That's just, you know, it's the beginning of the new year. See how long it lasts.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
This is not the announcement I was hoping for.
You're looking good. Hardy, you looking good?
Thanks.
You
know, okay. All right.
Trying to do the right thing.
Well, Hardy's on that HHS. Is that what it is? Human services.
Yeah. You know what I need, though?
The Hardy Healthy System.
HHLS.
HHLS, yes.
Hardy Healthy Lifestyle System.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Keep this rolling for a month, and I'm going to get the Botox all through the forehead and the sides, and then we'll see how it looks.
Okay. All right.
So Botox?
Oh, Botox.
So it's big Botox guy.
Yeah, I didn't know that was part of the...
It's part of clean living. You know?
Inject yourself with botulism.
You know, start eating organic. Start eating natural foods, no processed foods, get rid of the sugar, and Zoe's also then going to do Botox.
Oh, you see, my sister's one of these big Whole Foods people at the homeopathic
store. It's a tremendous store.
She reads everything on it, and she got me these shots, these ginger, like, cleanse shots. You want to talk about disgusting, like, pepper stuff that I've been taking every day, but I think it helps, you know, clean you out and everything. So we'll see.
I heard about those on Larry King.
It's disgusting. Like, you got to hold your nose. And
no, those were Supreme
five
Greens.
5 gallons of water.
Ginkgo biloba?
Yeah.
No, I'll show you. I forget what the name is.
Glucosamine and chondroitin?
It's called gook.
Garlic.
Yeah. Think about the worst possible taste and bottle that and then drink this. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to that Celtics game last night.
Oh, that.
Yeah, that the sports thing. The old sports thing there. You heard Granny on the call at the end referencing the number of free throws that the 76ers took in this game. So I'm not sure if he was referencing the free throws.
Scott Zolak.
Mark Bertrand.
Wow, that was hard.
Yeah.
That scared me.
Beetle.
I don't know if he was referencing the free throws as a way of complaining and being aggravated with the referees, or he was just mentioning them as part of the game story.
I think it's the former.
Well, I think when you're talking about Celtics fans in general, there's a culture of complaining about referees. Right? It's a long-standing culture. That was certainly fostered by Tommy Heinsohn. I think he has a big part of that. Celtics fans are always playing the victim when it comes to the referees. Always. Last night, though, I think it's sort of warranted. Now, I don't know that there were the, like, horrible game-changing calls in the final seconds that everyone can easily look at and say, wow, what a blown call.
Well, the one on Tice took it like from 4 to 6 points. And then you're cooked.
Well,
Scalvin said that.
Okay, so you're talking about the one late in the game.
Oh, yeah. That was a ridiculous call.
Well, I'm not sure that it was.
you did. You saw the body. But again, it's freaking Tice we're talking about. He's not going to get those calls.
And so, wait, are you talking about Tice was fouled or Tice?
No, Tice is fouled. Body. He hit him. He barely hit him on the body.
Okay, Tice is foul.
And that's the one Tice was bitching about all the way to the end, through the end of the game and off the court.
Like, to me, I look at the Tice foul and say, you're an idiot. There were 2 seconds left on the shot clock.
You left your feet, and you're going
to
get a call.
You're about to make a stop. So you're about to make a stop. There was less than a minute to play, and don't commit a dumb foul here, is what I would say about that. And so while I believe, you know, both sides of the argument from last night's game are right on this. Yes, if you watch that game and you saw the way that game was being called, you know me, so I often always say, shut up, Celtics fans. Like, stop. Stop complaining about the refs. But I don't think it was called evenly last night. And that's not to say that the Celtics fouls that they got called for were bad calls, because I don't feel they were. I just feel it wasn't going both ways. I feel like the Celtics were getting called for everything, and the 76ers were getting called for nothing at times.
Right.
Like, if you're going to let him play, let him play. If you're going to call a lot of fouls tonight, call a lot of fouls. Just whatever you do in any sport, make it so that you're calling it consistently. And that's not to say the thing I hate most in basketball is when fans count the free throws. Like, oh, look at the disparity between free throws. They're not supposed to be even numbers. They're supposed to be when a foul is committed, you get the call. When it's not committed, there is no call.
Like, shooting 21 fouls.
Like, you could have a perfectly officiated game where one team has 40 free throws and the other one has 20. And the refs did an excellent job in that game. The disparity to me means absolutely nothing. You got to go with what your eyes tell you. And last night it felt like there were a lot of fouls called that were called on the Celtics that I don't have a problem with if you're calling that both ways. The Tice foul, I'm sorry. You have to be smarter than that. You've got to be smarter. You've got to make sure. You've got to make a concerted, thoughtful effort not to foul in that situation and have the swing that you had when you're about to make a stop and there's little time left and you commit a foul and you're now swinging the game out of, you know, your hands. Because you could have had a 4-point game with the basketball with 45 seconds to play, and instead you're putting a guy at the line. That's a dumb foul. Be more careful. Don't foul there. And so I feel like both can be true. The refs did not have a good night. The Celtics need to stop committing both dumb fouls and committing as many fouls as they are committing. The second quarter was the same thing. They had a great second quarter. The game was too close because of the Celtics.
Or just play better damn defense. They're giving up, third most second possessions defensively. So, I mean, all these teams are getting these extra possessions, which are going to lead eventually to more fouls. You know, part of the problem is they're not playing great defense right now. And that's something that they've been able to do in the past. Now, they don't have all their guys and all their guns. And that's
they don't have their best gun. They don't have their best player right now, which should be a big part of the conversation.
Kemba's on his little restriction here. I mean, it's when are they going to be full go? When are we going to be able to say, look at this team. Okay, this is realistically what they are.
Well, maybe soon. And I'll tell you what.
I hope so.
This is the other big story from last night. I know that the refs were a big story in the aftermath, and we'll get to what Marcus Smart was saying and what Joel Embiid was saying. But how about the way Kemba Walker looks right now? Because through the couple of games we've now seen him in, he looks really good. I think he might physically be at the best point he's been at since he has been here with the Celtics. I know Brad Stevens told us back in July that he was the best he had ever been. Remember that conversation we had with him?
Yeah.
You guys remember that one?
Sure.
I think it was July 7th. Does that sound right?
Strongest knee he's ever been, yeah.
Yeah, strongest he had been, best he had been since he had been a Celtic. Well, now he actually looks like it. Like, I think even with his, you know, minutes restriction right now, what he is giving the team and how he looks physically in terms of accelerating and the burst and the movement, he looks really good. I'm very encouraged by that. I don't want to say that, oh, yay, this is who he is, because you know how these things can go. He could play 5 games and not feel great again, that he might, you know, swell up. Who knows? But I am very much encouraged by the way he looks over the last few nights, because he looks good. He looks like the player that you thought he might be. So if that turns out to be the case, and Tatum has been activated. We'll get to more on that. He's coming back. You know, they put the team together. I'm not worried about the loss last night. Is anyone concerned about the loss? Like,
no, you just said it. Tatum, they didn't have their best player.
Right.
Yeah, but it's still at the end of that game. I mean, it's still
typical. Can't lose because of the refs, though. Please, like, that. Let's not blame that. You still had an opportunity to win the game even with the crap.
I do despise, though. Zoe said it almost off the very top here. I hate the just accept as fact Tice isn't going to get that call or so-and-so doesn't get that call. Because, Beadle, you said it. Just be consistent. Be consistent from the start of the game for the entirety of the game, and also be consistent amongst the players. But we just accept as truth now certain players in this league get the game called one way for them and other players get the game called another way for them. And it's not just about rookies. It's just about how important you are to your team and the league and being on the floor at that moment. And that's the part that frustrates me more than anything, because Kemba Walker should be one of those guys that gets a little bit more. He got fouled once last night. I saw like an obvious blatant foul, and it wasn't ticky-tack. It was in the paint. He was trying to go in it. It's like that's one where the ref's hand pretty much goes up automatically before the foul has even taken place. It's like, here comes the foul.
And they were getting it at the other end.
Tice had to tip in on that. Kemba got whacked under.
Yeah, I'm like, what? how does Kemba Walker not get the call there? Well, he's Kemba, and he is important. He's not that important.
They thought it was Marcus Smart. That's all.
Well, I saw him flopping around in the second quarter. Jesus. I saw him on that three where he acts like he gets shot. It's like the worst play in the NBA.
I hate it.
Three and throw yourself to the floor as he screams, yelling, and then he gets to the line for three.
Lean in on your way up, lean into contact on your way up, and then get the shot off.
I just wish that some of these plays were called in the spirit of the game, which would be F you. Take a better shot next time.
F you, don't lean into contact and then take the shot. That's ridiculous.
But that's not changing. That won't change. We'll have to save their day.
Well, that would take points off the board. They're not going to do that.
Let's talk about Jason Tatum and also what went on. We'll hear from Marcus Smart and Joel Embiid, them going back and forth postgame last night. And the COVID situation in the NBA, which right now is impacting the Celtics with Tatum. We'll get to all that coming up next. And your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Beef. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 Sports Hub.
It is tough, especially when, you know, we got our hands up a lot of the times, and, you know, he flails and he gets the call. And then down another end, you know, we got our guys attacking the rim, getting a lot of contact, and we're just not getting a whistle. It's tough to play like that, and it's tough. I mean, if the roles are reversed, I do it every time. I mean, I'll be on too. If every time I threw my arms up or every time I got touched, I'm going to the free throw line. I mean, it's kind of hard not to get into a rhythm that way when you shoot 21 free throws alone, and they allow you to hack on the other end. It's tough.
Marcus Smart after the game last night. Is Marcus Smart the right guy to be saying this? I mean, is he really the right? I mean, he's not wrong. Again, I don't disagree with what he's saying. But I just don't know that it's the best coming from him.
That's the messenger.
You know, it's the messenger that's the problem here.
Yeah.
Flip-flopping Marcus Smart, which Joel Embiid took issue with after the game. I wouldn't say, like, take issue in a strong way, but he was asked about what Marcus Smart said. Smart said that first, and then they followed up. That would be the media covering the game with Embiid about the comments.
Well, Marcus Smart just told me that I flail a lot. Come on. I'm sure he knows himself and he knows his game too. He does a lot of that. And I don't think I do. I mean, if you watch basketball and if you're a student of the game and if you actually pay attention during the game, I mean, we all see it. Like, every single foul, I get fouled. And they probably don't call all of them. Not the last one. When there was 3 minutes left and I went up and that was a foul and they knew it, but they didn't call it. So there's a lot that they don't call. And there's a lot that, they call because you have to. You know, the game is physical. Other teams tend to try to be extra physical against me. And I guess I'm just smarter than everybody else. I just take advantage of it.
This guy's a jackass, too.
Unbelievable.
Every single
foul.
Did he say
he gets a foul on every single shot?
Yeah, and he said that every single foul that's ever been called has been right. That he was absolutely fouled every single time that he's ever been, that another player has been called for foul on him. Every single time. And in fact, he said they're missing a lot of foul calls on him.
Yeah, it's an odd team. I mean, they're talented. They're fun to watch at times, but it's the same thing at the end of games for them. Like, they always look tired. He's always flopping on the floor. He had that strip, and then he had that stupid shot that he took, like, backwards. You had a chance at the end of this game last night. You know, as good as he was in this game, 40-plus points? Yeah, you could have defended him better at the end. And Celtics had a chance at the end of this game. Philly's not a closing team.
I don't know they're all that fun to watch, though.
I don't know. I think they're athletic. See, I like the big guys that can run. Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't see that in Embiid. I just don't I find him to be an electrifying player. He's good. I mean, he's obviously, a top talent, but I don't know. I don't find them all that entertaining. I mean, especially compared to, like, what's going on in Brooklyn and that we can root against. I mean, to me, that's entertaining. That's entertainment.
Yeah.
76ers? You find them in a vacuum, an entertaining team to watch.
I find them as a more likable team now that they have a real coach.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. The whole Doc aspect, in terms of entertaining style of bat, no, I'm with you, Artie.
Yes, it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, I like some of their players. I like Embiid as a player. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, dude, cut the crap. Every foul that's ever been called is the right call, and they've missed a bunch too. Stop. Two extremes there. But the re-officiating was not good last night. It wasn't. They had a bad night. But you know what? It's the NBA. That happens like every other game. This is going to happen again. I hope the Celtics realize this. This will happen again, what played out last night. So they've got to find a way to put themselves in a better position and avoid some fouls in key moments, in critical points of the game. They did not do that last night. That's on them. Meanwhile, Jason Tatum has been cleared to make a comeback. He could play Friday. They'll see how he is. As Zoe was saying yesterday, these guys had symptoms. These weren't just asymptomatic cases. These are guys that dealt with things. So how's your comeback coming?
It's coming great.
Yeah?
I mean, I couldn't imagine. Does this sound okay?
Yeah.
I'm like popping like crazy.
No, okay. It sounds good on our end.
Okay, good. That's all that matters. But just the exhaustion, your chest, it feels, you go outside and you take that long walk in your first cold weather and your chest is just pounding. The amount of cardio these guys have been doing, and they, like coach told us, they basically had to shut them down. There's no physical activity. When you have this, you can't work out, you can't do all that. So just because he's cleared and all that doesn't mean he's gonna be up and running. He's gonna be on a minute thing, and just to see how he reacts. I mean, everybody's different on this, so we'll see.
In addition to that, the NBA is going to station security at half court of games to ensure compliance with safety procedures. They are expanding their efforts to enforce health and safety measures regarding contact between players outside of the game setting. This also
deal with Stevens telling us that they have to sit there with masks on, like on the plane, you face forward, you don't face each other, or you can't look at the guy when you're talking to him.
That was part of it, yeah.
That was part of it, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody faces forward. Do not look left or right and speak directly to someone.
It says here, beginning Wednesday, the league will reportedly place team security staff at half court before and after games to ensure compliance with mask and social distancing policies. The NBA Players Association and the NBA agreed on the new rules, requiring players to maintain 6 feet of distance where possible and refrain from physical contact. Okay, a couple of things here. I think they're doing this because, number one, they find that players are not wearing masks. and coaches are not wearing masks. So they need to put a babysitter at the games to make sure they keep their masks on, which is the biggest sign of the times. Like, the whole world needs a babysitter on this front.
Yeah, call
right
Jack
now.
Easterby.
Like, what are you doing? Like, it's a do we really need the babysitter, or can we tell the millionaire athletes, these are the rules, you have to follow the rules. Please just follow the rules. We pay you millions of dollars every year. Can you just do this for us? Even though, again, that's not going to fix the problem, because there's a good number of those players who are then going to play in the game. Like, what is the NBA missing about that part of it? So the NBA is trying to, like, keep the rules as tight as they can while also understanding that there's a game that has to be played between the two sides. So some of this is on the players and coaches. And then I look at the league and say, well, what is your plan here, NBA? You've got the Wizards, who just missed a sixth straight game that they had to cancel. They have eight guys that are available. And the Wizards had to fight the league to be able to cancel that sixth game because they just got enough guys cleared, and they're coming off of having COVID. And the league's like, yeah, go out there and play. Go play now. And they're like, we can't go play a game right now. The league, to me, doesn't really have a plan that is going to ensure that they play all their games, is what I would say. Like, the Wizards now have to make up six games. Somewhere along the way, they're going to have to play six additional games because of what they've missed. This could happen to any team in the league, and probably will happen to more teams. In a strange way, the Celtics having the number of guys that they've had get it and maybe return from it could prevent them from going through something like what the Wizards are going through. But at the end of the night, you have guys that go home every day. You have guys that are exposed to the outside world. Like Brad Stevens told us yesterday, when we're on the road, we have to stay in the hotel. Okay, I guess, all right, I get it. Like, you know, you're trying to reduce the number of times you're exposed to other people, but
right. That
doesn't solve the problem. Like, does keeping guys in a hotel on the road solve your problem?
Not entirely, no.
That doesn't solve your problem.
Instead of having them run around the, the lobby or
right, I get it.
Through the rotating doors.
I get it, but I just think that we're at a point where no league, any league you want to name, you can't stop it. Like, there's... You can put all these protocols in place, and it's fine for you to expect that players and coaches follow those protocols as you try to reduce the number of times. Like you just said, it's better than having guys run around to town while they're out on the road, for sure.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you're going to stop this. Like, you're not going to stop what's going on with the Wizards right now.
No, that's the big thing when you travel, too. And just going back to pre-COVID, second you get to the hotel on the road, all these guys throw their bags in their room. And boom, they're out on the street. Going out to grab something to eat, or you got family in town, you're going to walk around and all that just because you've been on a 3-hour plane flight, but you just can't wait to just get out and stretch. So I don't blame them for trying to bubbleize it somewhat when they're on the road. They got to keep this thing in control. Scary thing is some of these, what team was it that had, some of these teams have it where guys were testing positive, went through it, and then now they're testing positive again?
Yes, there was a report on that.
Jesus.
Because your immunity is not indefinite.
Right.
So you can test for it again. And that has apparently happened with some NBA players. But for the Wizards, six more games to make up. They have this half schedule that's been released that's going to delay whatever games are then scheduled thereafter. And it could happen with more teams. So the league getting, pushy with the Wizards, though, to me is a bad look. Like, what are you doing? So they had to fight you and fight the league to say COVID's still pretty serious and a bunch of our guys had it and they're just getting cleared to come back and do things. What's that going to look like as a product if you put a bunch of guys who are still dealing with COVID and the after effects of it out on the floor?
You're going to get beat by 40.
Like, what are you doing? It's not fair to them. It's not fair to the team. It's not fair to anybody. Right?
Yeah.
I think the league, they can say whatever they want. But they can't stop this. No league can stop this now. 617-779-0985. The Red Sox have an executive that spoke openly and honestly, probably the most honest interview any Red Sox executive has given since John Henry stormed the castle and went on Felger and Maz. It's not hyperbole. I'm dead serious. Probably the most honest statements being made in a very long time coming out of Fenway Park. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Szolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To me, relevancy speaks to competitiveness, and we need to be competitive year in and year out. So am I worried about not being competitive? Yes, very worried. Keeps me up at night. I know it keeps these guys up at night. We're here to win championships. We want our fifth ring. We've got four of them, and we want our fifth, and we're going to do everything we can this offseason, next year, into 22 and beyond, to bring another World Series championship to Red Sox fans. That's what they deserve, and we're going to do everything we can to make that happen.
Well, maybe not everything.
Tessie is the royal root is rally.
That's Sam Kennedy from back in September. Sam Kennedy gave Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe an interview yesterday. Sorry, what's today? Thursday. So he did it 2 days ago. It was on 21st. Tuesday. Sorry, yeah. 2 days ago. And Shaughnessy published the story yesterday in the Globe. So what's the Red Sox plan? Sam Kennedy says they're building back up rather than going all in.
Oh.
Sam Kennedy, CEO and president of the Boston Red Sox, says it would be inaccurate to say we are going for it with an all-in approach that perhaps we did prior to the 2018 title. We cherish that title in all of them, but the way we built that team came at a price, which included, importantly, a depleted farm system and some depleted draft picks along the way, so we are building back up.
This sounds familiar.
And as we do this, hopefully, hopefully the right way, we'll have a chance.
Hardy, won all those championships loaded up. We maxed out.
We'll have a chance to be competitive in the American League East in 2021, but also for the longer term. Shaughnessy writes, there you have it. After 20 years of pedal to the metal, the Sox are downshifting in urgency and expectations. More from Kennedy saying, I understand the frustration associated with the fact that it's been a slow offseason. I understand the frustration when we have a very disappointing season like we did last year. The good news is we have a lot of guys returning from health issues, and we're not yet done. Or not done yet, as it says here. Not done. Heard that before, too.
Oh, God. Not done network.
What now?
It says, Shaughnessy asked, do the Sox take their fans for granted, hoping the goodwill of four championships this century allows them to coast? Kennedy says that's patently false. Our ownership group wants a fifth, sixth, and seventh championship.
I reject that.
We want more than the Patriots. Oh, sorry. He didn't say that. I added that in. That's me editorializing. We are in it to win it and deliver for our fans. This is an incredibly competitive front office and a highly experienced and successful ownership group. And we are in the baseball business to win, period. Okay. Okay. Are the Sox operating like a middle market team? No, I would not agree with that. My guess is we'll have a payroll somewhere in the top echelon of baseball.
Mm.
Oh, okay. He also asks, are the
get spending?
He says, are the Sox operating in the spirit of Tampa Bay? And this to me is one of the greatest quotes in the story from Sam Kennedy. That's your obsession because it's cute and easy.
Oh, Jesus.
And Heim Bloom worked for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Oh, God.
I don't agree.
That's a Linda Holiday attack right
there. He says, I don't agree with it. And so how does Kennedy otherwise explain the procession of anonymous 4A players who have paraded through Fenway over the last year? Boston used 12 starting pitchers for 60 games last season. That's such an absurd number. He says, you're pointing to the concept of a big offseason splash. I understand that. It has been a general slow-moving offseason. It's been frustrating for fans, and we understand that. I'm not going to debate that with you.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So
here's a stat for you.
Okay.
from yesterday. I saw this yesterday. Is Red Sox stats on Twitter. In the last two off seasons, the Red Sox have signed 8 major league free agents for a total
28
combined 8 years, $22 million.
Yeah. Good times.
Ooh. Wow.
That'll bring you to the TV.
So as he says later in the story, we're working to build a team that will contend for a championship year in and year out. We're not prioritizing a short-term splash over getting to that goal. We're looking to build this thing the right way, brick by brick.
Oh, boy. Portnoy.
Shaughnessy straight up told him, I have a hard time believing this. It feels to me like the Red Sox have become a diminished priority in the Fenway Sports Group empire. Liverpool is king, and Fenway Sports Group is eyeing new acquisitions while the Red Sox trudge toward irrelevance. Sam Kennedy says there's nothing further from the truth. The Red Sox are at the center of everything we do. I think that's an insult to the people that work here each and every day with the mission of building a championship team and offering a great experience at Fenway. We're fortunate to have an ownership that supplies resources to all of our Fenway Sports Group businesses to be successful. It's incumbent on us to deliver. Just because you've got the resources doesn't mean you're always successful, but that would be an offensive mischaracterization, is what he says to Shaughnessy. He fires back at Shaughnessy multiple times here. He did not like being told that maybe the Red Sox were put at the back of the line in Fenway Sports Group, and he did not like the Tampa Bay Rays characterization of the Red Sox, and he told Shaughnessy that's cute and fits your narrative, basically. I feel like this was the most honest thing anybody with the Red Sox has said in a very long time. Now, yes, there are some things in there that are a little over the top. That's like a little much, okay?
Well, that's organization speak. He has some to do those things. But
The part about being able to contend in the AL East this year, do you buy
that? Doesn't feel like it.
Do they believe that?
No.
Because if they believe that, I can't. I think
it's more of the build than Beetle. It's more of the brick by brick stuff. This is like sort of that reset, and we're going to build our system, and we're going to get our good base going again. It's going to take a couple years, but yeah, we want to be competitive, but it's not going to look competitive.
Just don't tell
it
me
doesn't
you're,
feel like it.
Don't tell me you're going to be competitive in the AL East this year. That's just not being honest. That's if you believe that, you're not being honest with yourself. And I just refuse to believe that they believe that. I reject that, Hardy. There's no way Heim Bloom and Sam Kennedy sit there in a meeting at Fenway Park today and say, yeah, we think we're going to compete in the AL East. No, you don't. Don't feed us that load of garbage. But the rest of the interview, I sort of respect. I sort of respect the things he said in here. Like, at least you're admitting it, sort of, halfway, that,
well,
yeah,
you don't want to insult your base. You don't want to insult your fan base.
Like, we are dialing back. We want to build through the farm system. Well, at least you're saying it. At least you have the ball. I have so much more respect for that than you trying to sell us that you're competitive in the AL East and you think you're actually a contender. You're not.
Yeah, I'd rather hear from him than Tom Warner. Warner would sell you on that.
I feel like so.
It's an insult to the fan base. It is. And then you're going to get all these articles written about, you know, the Tampa North and all that crap. And you can tell it's pissing him off. I like that part of it. I like the fact Sam Kennedy got pissed off about, hey, I'm winner. It's your little cute thing you like to use. But no, we're going to try and do this the right way.
Like, don't reference the Fenway experience. Like, come on.
That's Lucchino. That's all them. But that's like working with all those guys.
Friendly Mike Aviles, too. Like, come on. Don't sell me on this garbage.
Cody Ross, the affable.
Right. Cody Ross and Mike Aviles.
Yeah.
Don't tell me about how your Fenway experience. I know that's how you sell a lot of your tickets. That's how you do it. Because not every fan that goes through those turnstiles is a hardcore baseball fan. And don't tell me you're going to be competitive in the division. You're not. But if you're telling me we want to win and we want to build a team that's going to be competitive so that we win a 5th, 6th, and 7th championship, and we think if you give us a couple of years, we're going to be able to put together something that's really good for a really long time, well, at least I can respect that. At least we can say there's some sort of thing happening there. And it's going to suck in the short term. Let's talk more about that short term, though. As Shaughnessy wrote, they are trudging toward irrelevance. Trudging? They arrived. They were ahead of schedule. The flight got in early on the Red Sox. They're already at irrelevance. So what's that do to them in the short term? Let's talk about that. Your calls on this. Celtics still in the mix, too. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
It was a very, very difficult season. And when you have a difficult season and you don't perform at a high level, obviously fan interest wanes. So we're cognizant of that. And it's our job to do everything we can to be as competitive as possible so that interest level comes back. And, you know, we've got such incredible sports franchises in this town. And I think we're blessed that we can all root for each other and support each other. And it's been a magical era. And as long as the existing ownership groups stay intact, I think we're positioned for success as we go forward with all the teams as well.
How the Red Sox like indoctrinate their executives with their corporate speak nonsense, but they
that
do
wasn't that like that wasn't yesterday. That was from the end of the year.
That's from the end of the season.
Yeah, that one turned you off.
Hey, so
that
you
was
know,
like,
you
oh,
know,
it's a bit of magical ride.
Do you know Sam
everybody.
Kennedy at all?
You know, pardon me.
You know Sam Kennedy at all?
No,
I don't think he talks like that in real life.
No, no way. That's that when you hear that type of
like,
stuff,
there's like a certain Red Sox executive thing they have to do when they
yeah,
go
that's
in front
Lucchino.
Of the microphone.
That's Lucchino speak, dude. That's Lucchino.
Like, what is that?
That is classic Larry Lucchino right
there. I want badass Sam Kennedy. I want Sam Kennedy telling Dan Shaughnessy to shove it up his behind like
I'm
he did in the story.
Stop calling us Tampa. Like, I'm pissed. That's the Sam Kennedy I like.
I think in this market, if you are honest, even if the people don't like what it is that you are saying, they will like you more if you just shoot them straight. Right? John Farrell, as a fan base, we couldn't stand John Farrell at the podium. Like, maybe the worst guy going when it came to press conferences. When Alex Cora speaks, how do people feel about him?
Real guy.
Oh, that guy's a real dude. In fact, Alex Cora can be caught in a massive cheating scandal, okay, and be the wrong guy to bring back for, you know, for all the wrong reasons, right? Don't bring that. You shouldn't have a job, Major League Baseball, you know. And the fan base overwhelmingly approved of him coming back and wanted him back. And I think a big part of that is not because he's any sort of great on-field manager.
Yeah, likability.
There's nothing that Alex Cora does in-game that makes him special. I don't think he's bad, but I don't think he's some sort of special talented manager. People look at him and say, that's a real dude. He shoots you straight. He tells you exactly what he's thinking, and his players must respect him for that. And I think he does a good job managing the personalities in the room, and I can see why. How do you not respect that guy? Like, I want more of that from Sam Kennedy. I want more of this interview. I wish this was in a broadcast sense. The Sam Kennedy interview. It could be so great to hear him actually say, ah, oh, that's cute and that fits your narrative, but that's bullcrap, Dan. It's just, it'd be so much better to hear it than what we heard at the end of the year. Oh, my God.
The magicalness.
I'm okay with it.
Everybody rooting for everybody.
So if the Red Sox are dialing back, are you okay with it? And they tell you? And they tell you flat out, listen, we're going to build through the farm system. You got to give us a couple of years to straighten this thing out so that we don't have the thing that I complain about, Zoe, which is the 2012 Bobby Valentine year, that we don't have World Series type years and then last place finish type years. Right. We want to build a sustainable model of success so that we're always good and we always have more talent coming up through the system. It's something that Theo talked about years ago, but he had to feed the monster, as we know. He felt that tug and pull of always being a great team.
See, that's always going to be here, though. Like that, I just remember like 10, 15 years ago in the spring, like Red Sox baseball is the only thing. That was it. Like, you couldn't wait for the start of the season, opening day and all that. You know, the excitement of seeing the players. You had superstars on your team, and that would bring people to the ballpark and have you pay attention. They would be a hot topic team. This type of stuff, and I understand why they have to do it, and I think, you know, all teams want to be relevant and sort of in the mix every year, but you got to be careful and build it the right way. The game and times have changed so much now that, to me, I think you need a little bit of that feeding the monster. You need some superstars here. You know, they're still trying to trade Andrew Benintendi, right? I mean, they've moved away from guys that have won here, and I understand you still have the Bogarts, you got Devers in that, and you're kind of holding your breath with some of your pitchers and the injuries in that, but it doesn't seem like that, like Tom said. Yeah, they've signed 8 guys, in the last 2 years for a total of $28 million? That ain't feeding the monster. And in this type of sport,
that's
where
feels like they're some cheaping out.
Like some fringe people like that need that. You need super. You want home runs. You want great pitching. I don't want to see 6-12 pitchers starting for them. I don't want these guys going 4 innings and then the next guy comes in. No, I want to go back the way it was. And that sort of is like feeding the monster. You got to do a little bit of that.
Seriously,
just don't go over the salary cap. You know,
I could deal with this as long as they're honest about it. I can. I feel better about it today.
Yeah, but then that puts them back burner, though. You become a back burner.
Okay, so that's the second part of it. Their ratings were down 58% last year, the biggest drop of all the teams in Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball ratings on the whole were down 11% in a year.
But they were an awful product.
Well, hold on. The whole league wasn't an awful product.
No. I'm saying the Red Sox were an awful product.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly. So my next point was going to be, listen, baseball in a year in which everybody was home, struggled, and lost more than 10% of their viewership. And now you've got ratings that were down 58% in this market. 58%! That is not a small drop.
Oh, no.
If our ratings were to drop over the next year, 58%, would no longer be hearing the Zolak and Bertrand show every day, 10 to 2.
I'd put podcast.
We'd be gone. We'd be unemployed. Actually, we'd probably find work across the street.
No, we'd still be number one.
Down 58%, we'd still be blowing away the other guys right now, but still.
Oh, it's Beetle.
But we'd be gone. We'd be fired. Like, the fans have fired the Boston Red Sox. They've fired them. What happens now?
Like, that's a tough thing to do.
Where do you go from there now if you're saying, hey, listen, we know our product is bad. It's going to continue to be bad for the time being. Does that – and this is why I give them credit zone. It's why I feel better about them. To tell everyone, listen, you're lying a little bit, Sam, AL East. Get out of here. You're not going to compete in the division.
Go ahead.
But to say we're not done, but read between the lines. This isn't going to get much better right now.
I'm telling you that. This is a build. When you go brick by brick, that ain't fun.
This is so insane, but I'm more ready to watch the Red Sox now. Okay, there's a plan there somewhere. Okay, I will accept you. I will stop being pissed off at you if you just tell us what's going on here. And I'm not expecting anything now. I'm going to stop complaining about the do-nothing offseason of the Red Sox. I'm sure Shaughnessy would be pissed to hear that because he wants to keep calling them the Back Bay Rays. That's what he wants to keep doing.
Back Bay Rays.
But if there's a plan there, we can hold the team accountable 2 or 3 years down the road if they're not winning or not contending, not winning. You know what I mean? If they're not contending, can't you do that? Can you have a little bit of patience for them? Have a little bit of patience. A little bit. Tiny bit. Patience. Tiny. A little bit of patience. What do you say? Huh?
Oh, patience. Yes. I think it's fine. It's just
my expectations are not high for this team.
They undo any amount of goodwill I want to have for them when I hear things like, competitive in the AL East. Like, that's going to be a thing. Unless your plan is to have a total Easter egg of a season like you had in 2013, which was not supposed to happen. That was not the plan. They lucked into that. And the circumstances surrounding that year and everything about it just made it completely unplannable. And it worked out, and everyone was grateful. The whole city, you know, celebrated that win.
Most impressive championship.
But to say that, you know, that's if you were to say, like, look, on paper right now, we feel that we are putting together a team that's going to be competitive in the AL East. Well, no one believes that. If you're trying to convince yourselves of it, well, that's when you lose me, because now you're just dealing in fantasy. Now you're just dealing in hopes and dreams as opposed to, nope, This is what makes sense to us. And I always go back to Beadle, you know, depleted farm system or not, this is not a small market team where this has been something that you just kind of account for more often than not or every few years. Nope, going back for 20 years now. This is a team that spends money. This is a team that can spend money. You can spend as much as you want. You don't even have to follow the unwritten rule of not going over your salary and your luxury tax threshold every 2-3 years, like this unholy alliance of owners decided they were all going to do. Well, nobody really goes over for more than 2 years in a row. Well, maybe you need to. Maybe that's something that needs to happen. You're going to have to spend more money than you want to because of the depleted farm system. And, oh, yeah, you're about to enter another season of irrelevance, which hasn't happened in a long time
for
this many in a row.
You got to start spending to be up there in the upper echelon. And, by the way, upper echelon, it's a little corporate speak there because what's upper echelon?
I don't know.
Oh, top half?
Define upper echelon.
Yeah, the top top five? But top five spending teams?
See, right
well,
now.
That, well, that would, yes, top five to me would be upper echelon, yeah. But depends not on what the drop-off is from 1, 2 to 3.
Okay.
There might only be 2 in the upper echelon.
What if I were to tell you that the Red Sox currently are 7th in payroll for this coming season in Major League Baseball?
I would say, what's the drop-off between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6?
Okay. Between 5 and 7, where the Red Sox are, it's $20 million difference.
Okay, so it's one superstar.
What's the difference between 5 and 1?
The Dodgers are the top payroll at $185 million, and the Padres are 5th at $153, and the Red Sox are 7th at $131. So you can make the argument, well, if you want to be where you could be. And the Yankees are $174, by the way, right now. You know, this includes the what you would call the 26-man payroll. Right, the active players, not deferred money, not David Price money, not Manny Ramirez money, any of that stuff, because that drives the number closer to 150. So it isn't like they're not spending any money. It's not like they are the Tampa Bay Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays have a payroll of $41 million. The Red Sox are at 131, $90 million more than that. So let's, you know, they're not Tampa Bay. The spending, though, that combined number is certainly something interesting. Yeah, over the last 2 seasons? What a number. What a number. So if you got thoughts on this, 617-779-0985. We got some Red Sox calls to get to. Social media insider Jake in Boston may have more on the fallout from the Linda Instagram shutdown yesterday, which, by the way, Zoe, continues to make national headlines today. TMZ just put up a headline on one of their Twitter feeds about it like an hour ago. I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, oh, Bill must love this. Headline on TMZ about the Instagram blackout. 90 seconds, no commercials. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.